Welcome to Longview Baptist Church. Where will you spend your eternity? This is a question that does have an answer, even if you don't know what it is. I am Pastor John. This ministry is designed to prepare you for that day we will all face, our last. Join us as we find an answer to the tough questions, and remember, you cannot truly live until you're truly ready to die.
9 years ago, my wife had a nephew born that morning. Her and her husband were in church that morning. He taught a Sunday school lesson. And at age 24, that afternoon, he fell over dead. And my wife is a 22-year-old widow, thought her life was over. She didn't know God had a lot more for her. And I say to this family, God has joy, but weeping is real and sorrow is real. And we know you can't skip that stage. But we are here for you. We're here for you. If you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, turn with me to the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke, and we're not going very far into Luke. We're just going to go to chapter 2. Chapter 2, the Gospel of Luke. Well, we're going to back up a little bit. You can stay there. I'm going to back up just a little bit. This is kind of the tale of two governments. Y'all know what it's like to tell a tale. How many of y'all men ever said, "I remember when we did such and such," and your wife said, "No, honey, it wasn't then, it was then." And you say, "Well, I remember we were with so-and-so." "No, honey, it wasn't with these people. It was these other people." You're both at the same place, but you just got totally different memories, right? I ask my wife now, "What do I remember?" And she tells me what I need to think, and sometimes I don't even have to ask. She tells me anyway. But this is a tale of men and God. Men and God. And chapter 2, the Gospel of Luke, it came to pass in those days there went a decree from Caesar Augustus on the big cheese. "I'm Caesar. I got the little thing on my head. I got my robe here. And I walk around." And he said, "I want the whole world to be taxed." That's just like a man over what? He didn't even know where most of the world is, did he? All he knew was that area around the Mediterranean. He didn't know anything about Asia. He didn't know anything about Australia. He didn't know anything about North America and South America. But he thinks he's controlling the whole world. He doesn't even know where the world is, does he? But there's a lot of people like that. We got some of them in Washington. They think they control it all. They don't. But Caesar said, "I want the whole world to be taxed." Well, you know, some people say we live in a godless age, but no. Our government, they may not want the Bible read in school, they may not want prayer in school, but they still want what the Bible says, that the whole world be taxed. They're still following that example, amen? And he said, this is an old tradition, goes back a way, chapter 2, and then he said, now everybody's got to go to their hometown. How many were born and bred right here in Bedford County? Oh, well, you wouldn't have far to go. How many of you were born outside the state of Tennessee? Oh, you got a farther way to go. Now, you know, just imagine you had to go back every year and pay your taxes back in the town you were born in. I wouldn't have to go too far. I'd go over to Clarksville, Tennessee. I'd go to Clarksville, Tennessee, not far from here. But Joseph went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth in Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because that's where his ancestors came from. Now, he's got to go, and it's about a, depending on the route you take, it's about a 50, 60, maybe 70-mile journey. One problem. He's got a wife that is great with child. Ladies, how many of y'all remember when you were going to have a baby? Say you're 8.5 months along. How would you like to walk for 60 miles? I wouldn't want to do it without a baby, would you? Lord have mercy, 60 miles. And so they had to leave several days in advance. Now, just imagine, just this afternoon, if I said, now listen, I need y'all to pick me up something at Kroger's for tonight's service. And you say, oh, Brother Gray, I'll do it. I said, but you got to walk to Kroger's and walk back. Would you be back in time for service tonight? Somebody would say, I think we need to cancel service. I just need to cancel service. But here's Joseph and some other people. I don't know how many met along the way, and his wife Mary. And the Bible says that while they were there, verse 6, the time came. Time came. She delivered her child, and she wrapped that child in strips of cloth and swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. Oh, I think that's sweet. Nothing much warmer than an old barn full of hay and animals, you know. You go out and you got all the heat from the hay and you got the animals and they're all sitting there. Oh, things are nice. Now we're going to switch scenes just a little bit. We go to verse 8. And there were in the same countries shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Now, let me tell you, in case you didn't know, this is not anybody's dream job. If you could do anything else, you probably wouldn't be a shepherd given the night watch, sitting up all night watching a bunch of dumb sheep. Now, shepherds weren't highly regarded back in these days. Some people say that according to Jewish law, a shepherd was not allowed to testify in a trial because nobody could believe what a shepherd said. That's pretty low down, isn't it? Now, that may be an exaggeration. I don't know, but these are not people like we saw in the opening verse. Caesar, I'm Caesar, I'm going to tax the world. And here's a shepherd, I'm going to watch a sheep. I'm going to watch a sheep. Now, what are you going to be? You got the men in the palace in Rome with all his power, all his authority, all his armies. He's got it all. And here's shepherds working basically and living hand to mouth. Have you ever felt like you don't matter? We just had an election. How many of y'all said, well, I'm not going to vote. My vote doesn't matter. Well, you're wrong. Your vote does matter, and I encourage you to vote. But more than that, get out and work to get the people you want elected. Amen? Don't just settle for whoever's offered. But anyway, I'm getting aside. And the shepherds are out there, and they didn't have cell phones to keep them entertained, you know. I had to go to a little concert in Oakland Middle School the other day. And my granddaughter's in her first year in middle school, and she joined the choir, and they had a Christmas program. I said, oh boy, I get to go hear my baby sing. They had about 15, 17 songs, 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. There were two that dealt with Christ out of 15 songs. Two. I was so upset. I asked my granddaughter, I said, why don't y'all sing more Christmas songs? She said, our choir leader said we weren't allowed to do that. I thought Christmas was about what? Christ. Isn't that the first word in Christmas? Christmas. But that's the way the world goes nowadays. The world is gone crazy. And there's one thing I know about the world. It really wants to get rid of that little baby that we just saw born and placed in a manger. Amen? The world hates that little baby. I love that little baby. I love that little baby. Now, these shepherds are out in the field. They're doing what they always do. You know, not a whole lot to do. And lo, Verse 9, the angel of the Lord came to who? Did he come to the palace to see Caesar? Did he go to the Jerusalem to see King Herod? The angel came to see the poor working people that were watching fields. If you ever thought you don't matter, this verse should mean something to you. It tells you God knows everybody. Amen? God knows everybody. God's got his eyes on all the people. And you may say, well, I'm a nobody. God says, no, 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 no. I made you in my image. You're a somebody. Amen? And when I got something big to say, I'm not going to Caesar. I'm not going to Jerusalem. I'm going out in a field and I'm going to announce it to a bunch of shepherds. Not the world's plans, is it? It's God's plans that matter. God doesn't do things your way. God doesn't do things my way. God does things God's way. Amen? Oh, listen. These shepherds, they're sitting out there, and all of a sudden they're out in this old dark field, this old dark pasture, and a few stars twinkling, not a whole lot, you know, and all of a sudden the glory of the Lord. I mean, it lit them up. It lit them up. You ever been lit up? You ever meet somebody just get saved? They got the glory of the Lord in them. As soon as you see them, you know something's happened to them. Amen? They're lit up from the inside out. Oh, the angels were there, and the shepherds did what I do. They got scared. My wife sometimes she hear a noise at night. She said, what was that? And I said, well, go look and see. You know. And she doesn't listen to me then or other times. She wants to send you her love. We had made a commitment to watch some kids in Lynchburg in a Christmas play. They'd invited us. She went down there and I came over here. She'll be back tonight. I have straightened up them. They were afraid, and the angels say what angels always say. These angels, they know what to say. They've been through this time and time again. You know, all through the Bible, it says what? Angels pop up in the unexpected places in unexpected ways, but they always say the same thing, just about always. What is it they say? Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Well, the angel said, I've got good news for you, and not just you little shepherd boys, but I got news for everybody. Now Caesar said, I'm going to tax the whole world. He's lying. He's just going to tax his little piece of it. But God's going to send his gospel where? To the whole world. Jesus said, you start here in Jerusalem, you go to Samaria, and you go to the ends of the earth. And your job and my job is to do what these angels did and make sure God's word gets to all the world. I noticed that you're taking up your Lottie Moon Christmas offering. Amen? That's so this gospel can go to the whole world. This gospel can go to Europe. It can go to Asia. It can go to Australia. It can go to Canada. It can even go to the inner city of our large cities here in America. He said, I got good news for you. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. That doesn't mean anything if you think you're good enough. I run into people all the time tell me, I'm good enough. I'm as good as these people that go to church. And I say, well, you're probably better than a lot of them because I know the inside dope on a lot of them church members. You know, including the preacher. I'm as good as them. Well, that's not the problem. The problem is you got to be as good as God, amen? And nobody is as good as God. I've got good news for you. I've got good news. There's a Savior born. And before you need a Savior, you got to know one thing. You're sinking, you're dying, you can't save yourself, amen? It's good news to people whose hearts are broken. Jesus said, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. There's some people today, they don't hunger for righteousness. They're just so self-righteous. They're so full of themselves. They don't look. Well, anyway, the angels came. There's a song written about that. Oh, I'm going to test the people up here now. There's a song written about that and the angels showing. Are you ready back there, brother? Hit it. I always want to say that. Hit it. Oh, how many of y'all ever heard this song? How many of you ever heard of the man who wrote it? John Wesley? He's kind of a Methodist preacher that did a little work in this area. Now, let's just sing that first verse right there. I can't sing, but I can be a song leader. Okay? Now, ready? Amen, amen. Oh, my goodness, y'all ought to do that more often. Oh, listen. Hark, the herald angels sing. That's what Christmas is all about. You know you can't have Christmas plays anymore. You had to have winter pageants. No. Christmas is about Christ. Don't send me a card that says Happy Holidays. I might not even read it. I want a card that says Merry Christmas. Amen. I don't want a holiday. If I had a holiday, I'll wait for New Year's. That's when you have a holiday. I'll wait for Groundhog Day. That's a holiday. I'll wait for something like that. But Christmas is a holy day. It's not a holiday. It's a holy day. Amen. Hark! The herald angels sing. What does hark mean? It means listen, but listen extra close. Give all your attention. Don't be diverted. Put everything down. Listen, the angel said. I've got a message for you shepherds. I've got a message for you here at Longview. I've got a message for Tennessee. Listen. Listen. Carefully. The herald angels sing. What's a herald? But you got to go back. Imagine a young girl announces she's pregnant without being married. The shame she had to bear, the people running her mouth. But Mary did it. Listen. The messengers of God say, listen, a Savior is born. Savior is born. Oh, and then suddenly there's a whole bunch of angels. Verse 13, a heavenly host. I don't know how many there are. In the Bible it says sometimes Daniel looked up and he said, I saw 10,000, 10,000 times 10,000, 10,000 times that. I just saw as far as I could see the heavenly host. And oh, what a sight it was. The shepherds don't just have one or two angels there. They've got thousands and maybe hundreds of thousands. Oh. And they're praising God. How'd you like to hear that choir? How'd you like to hear that choir singing? Amen. Oh, Lord,
mercy, they might even let me join that one day. And the angels did their job. They praised God in the highest. In verse 15, what did they do? They got out of the way. Got out of the way. I wish more preachers knew how to do that. How many preachers you know that just keep hogging the spotlight? All the preachers are supposed to do is tell you about God and get out of the way. Amen? That's it. That's all. I can't save you. My message can't save you. I can talk to you about God, but the Holy Spirit has to get a hold of you. Amen? The Holy Spirit has to get a hold of you. And when I do my job, I step aside. It's between you and God right then. So the angels left. The shepherds. You can see them sitting around the road. My golly, I think one of them was Gomer Pyle. Said, golly, never seen nothing like that before. And the other shepherd said, I ain't either. Well, I tell you what, they didn't believe us before. They sure ain't going to believe us when we tell them what happened tonight. Now here's the good part. Shepherds, the angels did their part, didn't they? They came all the way from heaven. They came to that little field and they told the good news about Jesus Christ. God's done His part. Jesus has done His part. Here's the part that, listen, hark. This is your part. This is your part coming up. And my part, it's our part. The angels gone away, verse 15. Shepherd said, let's go see for ourselves. Let's go see. Have you ever looked into Jesus Christ for yourself? You can't get saved on my sermon. You can't get saved on mama's faith. You can't get saved on grandpa's faith. You got to get saved when you look to God and look to Jesus Christ yourself. Amen. Nobody can do it for you. If I could, everybody would be saved. But the shepherds, they heard the message. And the angels told it to them. And then the angels left. And now the shepherd says, let's go look. Have you looked into God's Word? God's Word said we're all sinners. That's why He had to send a Savior. God said our best works are like filthy rags. That's why we cannot save ourselves. That's why Jesus Christ had to come and live and die to pay the price for my sin and your sin. Because we can't do it ourselves. You think you can. I'm going to tell you something, friend. You're listening to the devil, not the preacher, because this preacher's telling you you can't save yourself. You need a God that can save you. The shepherd said, let's go see. I invite you to go see yourself. Look into the Bible. Look into your own heart. Listen to what God says. And ask yourself this. Is God true? Well, I think He is. Because from Genesis to Revelation, everything that God said has come true. Amen. Prophecy after prophecy after prophecy. He's told it hundreds and thousands of years before. And it's come true. And there's one big prophecy left. That's when the Lord comes back and we all stand before Him. Amen. Now, if everything back there is true, I believe what's coming up ahead is true. And I want to be ready for that day. So the shepherds go into town. Da, 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 da. You got a baby around here? Got a baby around here? And they finally say, shut up. We got one sleeping over here. Where? In the barn. The shepherds go in. I imagine they were quiet. You know, men are worthless around something like that. I mean, what are we there for? The women did all the work. They even come equipped with a self-feeding system. You know, men are worthless. Well, not tidily, but you women quit hollering amen on that. So the shepherds come around and do what shepherds do. They just stand around. Ooh, change your diaper. Not me, not me. The angels did their part. The shepherds did their part. And there's one more thing the shepherds did that you and I ought to do. What is that? Bible says they went and told everybody about what they'd seen, what they'd heard. Christmas is almost here. Have you told anybody about what you've seen and heard in Jesus Christ? Have you told anybody how God saved you and how God can save them? Oh, the greatest story never told by a lot of people. Never told. God's done His part. Jesus did His part. That great King of kings and Lord of lords came and humbled Himself and became a little baby. He grew. He preached. And He died on a cross. He was buried and raised again the third day. And later He ascended up to heaven. He's on the right hand of God right now. He's just waiting for God the Father to say, "Son, go back and get your church. Go back and get your people." Oh, listen. I watched a show the other day. Never had seen before. Pretty interesting. Dog diving. Have you ever seen that? Dog diving. They got a big thing like this, and the guy gets down here, and he shakes a rubber ball or a stick in front of his dog, and the dog's gonna get it, and somebody's holding the dog, and he goes to the other end, and there's a big pond out there. And he says, "Come and get it." And he lets go of the dog, and the dog runs, and he throws that stick, and that dog dives out there. Gets that stick, brings it back. Some of them dogs are going 19 feet in the air. Wow. Jesus is just like that. He's waiting to go get His church. And God says, "You just wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. Jesus, let me get him, let me get him, let him get." And God says, "I got a time for that, son." He said, "No, Lord, I want to go get him now. I want to go get him now." I'm glad He doesn't come now, because there's some people that need to be saved before He gets back. God's got Him ready. Jesus is ready to come back. There'll be a trumpet sound one day, and God will throw that stick, and He'll say, "Go get your church, Jesus. Go get your church." Have you told anybody that Jesus is coming back? Have you told them He even came the first time? That's what Christmas is all about. Oh, I like meals and like presents, as long as it's not socks. But if I don't have Christmas, doesn't matter what day of the year it is. But if you have Christmas, every day is special. You have Christ, amen? The shepherds, they did their part. They heard the message. They investigated the message. And then they shared the message. I invite you to do the same thing. I've told you, Jesus Christ can save you. If you're not a Christian this morning, I want to tell you right now where you're at. You can bow your head. You can say honestly, "God, I don't understand it all. But I know I'm not perfect. I know I need help. I need a Savior." You'll bow your head right there. Say, "Lord Jesus, I believe in You. And I give You my life, and I'll try to follow You from this day forward." You'll be saved in that pew. Amen. But if you get saved in that pew, you need to come up and make it known. God's not looking for secret, silent disciples. God's looking for people who get up and use their mouth. Say, "I ask Jesus Christ to save me." If you're a Christian, and you know you're a Christian, let me ask you this. Are you sharing the good news? Are you telling your friends and neighbors and family members, co-workers, about Jesus? That's what He wants us to do. Amen. I want to ask you to stand. Our song leader comes. We're going to have an invitation.
Thank you for joining us today. We pray that God's word has encouraged you. You feel like you've had fellowship and been at home with family. Today, if God has moved in your heart, and today you would like to make him not only the Savior, but the Lord of your life, first, it's important to know that we are sinners. We're born sinners. No one can bridge the gap that was separated when sin broke what God had created so beautifully. If today you know you're a sinner in need of a Savior, and you know that Jesus Christ was born, lived a sinless life, and died on the cross to pay for your sin, today, if you want to, you can trust him as your Lord and Savior. It requires you to pray and in faith, ask him to save you, to forgive you of your sins, to cleanse you, and you want to live for him. I pray today, if you do that you will reach out to us. We would love to get you connected in a church body, a church home, wherever that might be, and get discipleship around you so you can grow in this new life that you found in Christ. Read God's word. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. God bless you.